Continue conversations between Narada and Vyasadev. Canto 1st, chapter 6. Today we read text 32. Devadattam imam vinam svara brahma vibhishitam svara brahma vibhushitam. Murchayitva harikatam gamyanas charamiham. Word by word translation. Deva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Dattam, gifted by imam, this Dina, musical string instrument. Swara, singing meter. Brahma, transcendental. Vibhushitam, decorated with. Murchayitva, vibrating. Harikatam, transcendental message. Vayamana, singing constantly. Charami, do move. Aham, I. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, His Compounder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yes. And thus I travel, constantly singing the transcendental message of the glories of the Lord, vibrating this instrument called a vina, which is charged with transcendental sound, and which was given to me by Lord Krishna. Purport. The musical string instrument called the vina, which was handed to Narada by Lord Shri Krishna, is described in the Linga Purana, and this is confirmed by Srila Jiva Goswami. This transcendental instrument is identical with Lord Shri Krishna and Narada because all of them are of the same transcendental category. Sound vibrated by the instrument cannot be material, and therefore the glories and pastimes which are broadcast by the instrument of Narada are also transcendental, without a tinge of material inebriety. The seven singing meters, namely Sa, Sajja, Ri, Rishabha, Ga, Gandhara, Ma, Madhyama, Pa, Panchama, Da, Daivata, and Nishada are also transcendental and specifically meant for transcendental songs. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Sri Narada Deva is always fulfilling his obligation to the Lord for his gift of the instrument, and thus he is always engaged in singing his transcendental glories and is therefore infallible in his exalted position. Following in the footsteps of Srila Narada Muni, a self-realized soul in the material world should also properly use the sound meters, namely Sari, Gama, etc., in the service of the Lord, by constantly singing the glories of the Lord, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Om Agena Timirandasya Genanjana Shakaya Chakshura Militam Hena Tasmehi Shigurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Gantura Chiva Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. So today we continue with this very interesting verse and interesting purport, where we see how Narada Muni was actually encouraged by Lord Krishna to sing his glories. He gave him Veena. He gave him this string instrument called Veena. Veena is, and Sita, if you know, they are instruments very popular in India. But over the years, these instruments have developed in different ways in the Western world, like the lute and then the guitar, etc. So the veena and the sitar, the original instruments from which the guitar and the lute and all these string instruments, violin, etc., have come. So Lord Krishna gave Narada Muni this veena because Narada was now self-realized. He knew that he is actually an eternal servant of the Lord. Narada Muni was already in the spiritual body, so he didn't have to realize that he's not the body. He was already in the spiritual body, so he had realized this particular relationship with the Lord, which is, it appears to be somewhat in Dasyaras, as a servant of the Lord. So he travels everywhere with his veena, being empowered by Lord Krishna in the spiritual, in the material world, constantly chanting the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In different similar chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopal Jaya Jaya, Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. So many beautiful chants are there, glorifying Lord Krishna. And now, to someone it may look like this is sense gratification. Narada Muni is just flying around singing, having fun. Wouldn't it be nice for you to also have that kind of service, singing, flying around the whole day, just chanting? Nice. Don't bother about anything. But actually, this is really his service, and Narada Muni has understood that this is what will please Krishna the most in terms of their relationship, so he is executing that. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we see the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So Prabhupada encouraged, in the same way, his disciples and grand disciples, and of course many, many generations to come, because his books will stay for many, many generations, to actually utilize the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So, for example, you can, in the Western world, you can use the guitar, for example, to reach out, chanting the glories of the Lord. George Harrison from Beatles, when he joined ISKCON, he was thinking, I'll just give up my career, and I'll just move in the temple full time, and I'll just give up the plain music, and I'll just surrender and I'll do books, because the devotees were preaching to him that this is the highest you can do. And then he asked Prabhupada, should I move in the temple full time and do books and all that? And Prabhupada said no. He said to him, you're already very established in what you're doing. So now just utilize the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Just use your talent to create music and spread the glories of Lord Krishna. And in that way, George Harrison remained engaged in service that might have looked like sense gratification to some devotees. That he's just enjoying his senses. But if Prabhupada is empowering him, then that becomes transformed, because these notes, Sare Gama Pada Nisa, now are used to glorify Krishna. So it's got nothing to do with sense gratification, because Krishna is the center. Yukta Vairagya principle means that any object that is utilized for the bona fide, genuine service of Lord Krishna, that object becomes re-spiritualized. Just like this microphone I'm using now, it is actually re-spiritualized, because although it's made of material elements, just by coming in contact with the Shabda Brahman, the sound vibration, glorifying Krishna, immediately it takes on a spiritual quality. In other words, this microphone can purify others through the sound vibration of the devotees. And in fact, this recorder is also a material advanced technology, but this will put the lecture on the website, and then perhaps hundreds of devotees will hear it and they will be inspired to worship Krishna, serve Krishna, utilize the principle of Yukta Vairagya, and very carefully progress in their devotional service. So this is actually something very interesting. There was a time when devotees were a little fanatical and they didn't appreciate when devotees were engaged in chanting. Like another example in our movement is Aindra Prabhu. Some devotees at some point were a little critical. He's just chanting kirtan the whole day. He's not going out on books. He's not preaching. He's not making disciples. But Aindra Prabhu was just chanting day in and day out. That was his service, and he inspired other devotees to chant every day 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan. So some of the devotees were saying that, well, that's his characteristic. He was a Shudra, he was a musician, therefore now he's just serving Krishna as Shudra, you know, in that way. Sometimes in the beginning, some heavy kind of blasphemy or whatever, immaturity was going on. But later on they understood that this so-called person who was engaged in the service of the Shudra was actually pure devotee of the Lord. And he had nothing to do with Shudra. Shudra means someone who is acting for sense gratification in the material world. So in this way we should encourage devotees who have talents. Sometimes in ISKCON we make the huge mistake to discourage devotees who have talent. Devotees who can draw, you know, paint nicely, nice pictures. Devotees who can play instruments. What other talents could be there? So many different artistic talents may be there. They are very necessary for, you know, making advancement in Krishna consciousness. For example, now we have so many devotees who sing kirtan, like, you know, Gauravani Prabhu, Madhava Prabhu, of course, Vivi Govinda Maharaj. So we see this chanting of theirs, spreading the glories of Lord Krishna everywhere, all over the world. So this principle of Yukta Vairagya is very much necessary. And of course, devotees must be encouraged in that way. Yesterday or the day before, one devotee from Melbourne here gave me a picture painted by some children of the Panchatattva dancing. And the picture is so beautiful, I was amazed how the children actually painted it. Very, very beautiful, very, very authentic. So I was like, wow, this is painted by children. Imagine when they grow up, if they continue to paint, how will they become so qualified and so talented? So, what can we say? Narada Muni is simply spreading the glories of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada similarly got involved in some recordings. He went to the studio and he released quite a few tracks actually. This Sad Goswami Astakam, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Radha Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. So many of these songs Prabhupada recorded with some devotees in the studio, and some of the recordings Prabhupada did by himself, because the devotees couldn't play the instruments. So he will do the mridanga, then he will do the kartals, and then he will sing on top. They will do like dubbing. So Prabhupada would do all the instruments, and then gradually he will train his disciples to learn how to play nicely the instruments. So we can see how it is a prerequisite for spreading the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to glorify Lord Krishna. Because the jivas in this world, they are suffering, and they are constantly, their ears, they want to hear some nice sound. You know, they go to MTV on the TV, they switch on the radio, they want to hear some pleasant melodies. But these notes, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa, they have been hijacked for mundane purposes. Originally, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa, they come from the Lord. The Lord is the source of the music system, notational system, music system. One time in Cape Town, one person came to the temple. He was playing saxophone. And very, very good musician. Later on he became a devotee, but in the initial days he was coming checking us out. So I was telling him, so who created the note system, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa, or Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti? Who created this? Did you do it? He said, no, it was already there. So I told him, can you trace its origin beyond human beings? Human beings just found it is there, and they started to utilize it. But we cannot say we created this note system. It's already there in the universe. Somehow or other, this sound is there. Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa. Yeah. And he agreed. Yeah, I mean, we didn't do anything, the human beings, to create this particular pitch system, right? It's already there. It's universal. Nobody can just transgress it. You know, if someone is playing in specific key, you cannot, like if someone is playing in the key of E minor musically, you cannot play F minor or something like this, because it will clash. It is completely contradictory. Therefore, there is a specific law that human beings cannot overrun. You know, you have to work with this law. So because we didn't create it, then who created it? I asked him. He was thinking, I'm not sure who created it. Maybe it was just there. I said to him that, you know, this instrument you are playing, the saxophone, was it just there? It just standing there, you know, eternally? He said, no, it was made by one man. So I said to him, so in the same way, this whole universe, it has been designed by a specific personality, transcendental personality. So, and I asked him after that, so when you play the music, all these notes, some sound comes from your instrument, and then the people hear it. Now how they hear the sound? He said, well, the sound is carried through ether. Did you create the ether? He said, no, I didn't create it. And then I said to him, now how are the people hearing this sound? He said, well, they hear through their ears. Those of you who have studied biology or medicine, you can remember how complicated is the ear. Huh? How complicated, like a part, body part, is sense, is the ear. So I told him, you know, who created the ear? Why it is there? You know, so there's so many components to your playing for it to be functional. I told him, imagine, you know, there was the note system and you have your instrument, but then there is no ether for your sound to travel from your instrument to the ear of the person in front of you. Then what would be the use of your playing? So everything is there. Amazing, huh? The note system, the materials for which the instrument can be made of, the intelligence to the man who will make the instrument is there, which is not created by humans. It's already there. And it can't be already there. It must be given by a higher person, higher intelligent designer. And then I told him the apparatus, the hearing apparatus of the human being. It's so complicated, and it is, to my knowing, it is not created by a human being. So many components must be there for you to produce some sound, so that sound can go into the ear of the listeners, the audience, and they can clap for you and give you some money. I told him, now, this sound originally is created by the Supreme Lord, the supreme designer of this universe, the controller of the universe. Therefore, the original purpose of this sound system, the notational system, is to utilize it to glorify Him. And if you utilize your instrument, your ability, the ether and the apparatus of the other person that is hearing, the hearing sense, then you are making advancement and they are making advancement, spiritual. But if you use it for mundane purposes, they are getting degraded and you are getting degraded. So Yukta Vairagya, everything that is being manifested properly by the Lord, we can utilize it according to His prescription for how to use things. We can use it for His pleasure. Sometimes people misunderstand this principle. They say, if God created everything, then we can use everything the way we want. Sometimes people say, God created the animals, therefore what's wrong with eating them? Right? And then Bhaktivinoda Maharaj said, well, He created the cockroaches too. Why don't you eat them? You understand? So, in other words, there is a way Krishna is creating the material world through Brahma. Brahma is the real hands-on creator. Krishna just supplies the facility and the intelligence and whatever then Brahma creates. But not everything can be used according to how we feel, because the modes of nature contaminate our consciousness. So we need the guidance of bona fide spiritual master, we need the guidance of Shastra, we need the guidance of Sadhu to be able to utilize this gift, whatever the Lord has provided, so that we can now offer everything back to Him, make that gift to the Lord. So in this way we could utilize everything according to the Lord's direction. This is proper Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is not you come up with some speculation and you use it. Like in the early days, sometimes devotees used to get involved in selling materialistic paintings, especially in South Africa. Just getting like paintings from China or somewhere, and they'll just travel around all over South Africa selling paintings. Karmic paintings, you know, that was in the 80s. A lot of devotees fell down because they thought, you know, I'm just engaged in some mundane activity. They were not inspired. It was all money, money, money. And then they just fell down. So nowadays, you know, the devotees understand, yes, money is no problem to use Yukta Vairagya, but you should get the money in a Krishna conscious way. And how you do that is, you either distribute prasadam or books or music CDs or something like this that is connected to Krishna. So in that way, the devotees can actually stay always connected to Krishna and be Krishna conscious. So of course, because they were selling these paintings, they built this temple in Durban, which is quite an achievement, but on the expense of losing many, many devotees. So you can see how we can misconstrue, we can misapply the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Because the most important thing is not the building, it's the devotees. You see, if you lose the devotees, what's the use of an empty building? So, therefore, we are learning from this particular verse and purport that everything should be utilized for the service of the Lord. And then whoever has talents should be encouraged. We should encourage the devotees to progressively learn and share their talent with others. Nowadays we have so much contamination going on. Like we mentioned in the TV, on the radio, so much contamination. And the people, they're accustomed to music, so they hear this and they get contaminated. And if the devotees develop themselves in a very nice way, they could become actually more and more exposed into the media, etc., by doing certain nice presentations, whether it's art or music or movies, things like that. You know, we could make inroads into society through that avenue as well. If there is devotees who are talented with doing that, they should be definitely, definitely encouraged. In Cape Town, there is one devotee. His name is Mukunda Das, and he's a movie director. So the devotees will also criticize him initially, that why he's doing all this karmic stuff and whatever. But, you know, he's maintaining his family, he's a householder. And then he built himself up to such a degree that his latest movie was acclaimed by Hollywood. His latest movie, it was some kind of a thriller he made. And there is always some Krishna conscious aspect attached to it. You know, it's not direct, but it's there. So he's aiming at creating a name and getting sponsors and making something really huge in terms of movie. You know, like he's very, very good. So we should encourage devotees like that. If someone can do it, if it's engaged in Krishna service, then it becomes perfect. It's not that we all have to be the same, you know. It's not natural for everyone to be the same. So this is required. Sometimes we went through this stage where everyone was forced into one same type of behavior, and that caused also artificial conformity, and the devotees were dissatisfied. They were not engaged properly, so they got disturbed. And then at other times devotees were engaged accordingly, and they became very productive, very wonderful members of ISKCON who brought so much high consciousness in this world and brought so many devotees to ISKCON. I heard once the statement, I don't know how correct it is, but it kind of makes sense to me, that George Harrison brought the most devotees to ISKCON after Srila Prabhupada through his songs. Or he made the greatest impact in the world after Prabhupada in terms of spreading the glories of Krishna. It is not, does not sound like over exaggeration, because George Harrison, basically every person on the planet knows him, especially from our generation. Maybe the youngsters now don't know him, but our generation or the generation before that, everyone knew him. So when he recorded My Sweet Lord, you know, the chant Hare Krishna was there. And I think he did some other, two or three other tracks that became very popular. So thousands of people were appreciating Krishna consciousness at that time. Maybe perhaps millions. So this is, and then because of that, people were becoming interested in Prabhupada's books. So George Harrison was like an instrument for the Lord. He was bringing people closer to Prabhupada. George Harrison even asked one time Prabhupada, can I get initiated? Prabhupada told him, you're already initiated, your name is Harrison, the son of Hari. So Prabhupada had some transcendental relationship with certain devotees like that. They were performing specific services that others could not do, and Prabhupada wanted to use their skill to perform his mission to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are some amazing stories that we hear, you know, concerning George Harrison. You can see also how George Harrison became so instrumental to help Prabhupada by just offering him the Bhaktivedanta manor. Just a whole massive mansion with a farm, so much land is there. Quite a bit of, I think they bought some extra land later on, but he bought it, and then after that, after some time, he just, or maybe, I don't know if he bought it directly for Prabhupada. He might have done that. I don't know the exact history. Do you know if he bought it directly for Prabhupada? Or he just bought it for himself and donated it? Okay, he bought it for himself. He had so much money because of this fame. So he bought that mansion, and then later on he felt, you know, why do I need this thing, you know? Let me give to Prabhupada to do his service. And then behind the Bhaktivedanta manor, there is a wheat fields. Prabhupada used to chant japa there. Like, you look on the horizon, the whole horizon is like this wheat field, beautiful wheat field. And Prabhupada just would go up and down, chant japa. There is pictures actually of him on that wheat field. It's a very special place. So another contribution that George Harrison did was he actually donated Lakshmi to print Krishna book. So you can see how we are all benefited by one person who was engaged in using his talent to spread the glories of Krishna. And also being a householder, he was performing concerts. All the songs that he did were not all the time transcendental, in a sense, because with the Beatles and etc., you know, they had songs that were just, perhaps we could say, in the modes of three modes of material nature, but he utilized all that to actually inject Krishna consciousness in society. Prabhupada gave him that empowerment. I remember the story, I think Mukunda Maharaj is sharing that story. They went to Prabhupada told them, I think Shama Sundara Prabhu and Mukunda Maharaj. Prabhupada told them, you go and ask him to give some money for the printing of Krishna book. I want to print Krishna book. So they were feeling uneasy, you know, come on, we are friends with him now. We never asked him for anything. You know, we never asked him to give money. They were kind of a bit uneasy to approach George Harrison. They felt that this might impact on their relationship. He may see them as people who are just asking for money. But Prabhupada instilled kind of some faith that this will be possible. So you go and try it. So they went to George Harrison's mansion, and they were invited by him. So they went into one room, and they sat together around the table, and they started discussing about that. As far as I remember, Prabhupada was there as well. And Prabhupada asked him actually, that George, please help me, I want to print this Krishna book. So they took Prabhupada there with them. And Prabhupada had a personal relationship with him, but you know, it wasn't as close as the other devotees, so he requested them to introduce him and to make a friendship. So Prabhupada requested him, and George Harrison was thinking, you know, this was 20,000 pounds or something like that, they were asking, some quite a big sum to print a lot of books. So George Harrison was thinking, you know, it took him quite some time, you know, should I do it or not? Outside was raining. Suddenly, a thunderbolt came in the sky. And all the electricity stopped. It became dark, they couldn't see each other in the room. While George Harrison was thinking, should I do it or should I not do it? And when this happened, he realized, oh my God, this is a sign that I have to do it, you know. And then, as soon as he made the decision, immediately the electricity came back. And then he said, okay, I will give £20,000. And Prabhupada asked him to write the foreword to the book. And as you remember, you know, he says, we are all looking for love in this world, but actually we are all looking for Krishna, he's saying. Everyone is looking for Krishna. And at the end, he signed it, All We Need Is Love, the famous song of Beatles. Hare Krishna, George Harrison. So this book became so popular and many people appreciated it over the years. Benefited from reading it, and so many came to ISKCON because they read Krishna book. So yeah, let us be open-minded, let us spot the devotees' abilities and let's encourage them, let's facilitate them to utilize whatever talents they have to spread the glories of the Lord. Just like Narada Muni, of course we may not be Narada Muni or the devotees may not be Narada Muni who had already a spiritual body, completely self-realized. But the intention is there that one is a sadhaka, one practices and he or she is making something with in the mood of trying to please Krishna, Prabhupada, the spiritual master. Therefore we have to encourage that. I saw recently, I think in Back to Godhead, there was some article about how new devotees are trained in painting. So for the Prabhupada's books, they want to refurbish some of the paintings and get some new paintings. Of course, now times are changing. People's taste and the presentation of art is different. So it has to be to look appealing to the eye. Otherwise, people think, what is this thing? This looks like a book from the 70s. You know, doesn't appeal to me. So the devotees are becoming a little progressive, that we have to do that. Some years ago I wrote, maybe I was a new bhakta, maybe 12 years ago, I was going on books and some of the art on the books was scary, you know, like this skinny yogi and his chakra is burst and the soul is going and some blood is coming out, you know. You know, and then we're selling this book and then some people look, what is this, you know. So you're also like a new bhakta. You're not supposed to become like that. The book is explaining that you're not supposed. You know, how do you explain? What is that? So in the 70s that was great. The hippies, yeah, cool man, you know, this is great, you know. But the 80s, 90s is something different. Now in the 21st century, completely different mood. And when I wrote this, it was 1990 something, I got the response, there is no need, the books are transcendental, if you surrender you will distribute them. That was the answer. So maybe true, maybe correct to some degree, but not all the way, because definitely people are looking at presentation, definitely. And if we just get stuck into the 50s or whatever, you know, on the 60s, we never move forward. Like Life Comes From Life, the book, the cover looks like a Christian, like a preaching book or something like that, if you have noticed. You know, so it has to be refurbished to be made appealing to the modern mindset. In India they print Life Comes From Life and at the back they put this amphibian who looks like an alien. So when you know, like when people look at it, they think, what is this? You know, it's like, it's so ugly, you know, it's like really, you know, you get shocked, you know. So because the materialistic people, they want to see something beautiful. Krishna is beautiful, we have to present him beautifully, nicely. We have to have an aesthetic feeling. You can't dress the deity in a horrible way and think it's transcendental, Prabhu, you should appreciate. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to think progressively, and this is one why to some degree we are actually little slack with our outreach, because you know the people can't relate to our books, sometimes to our Harinam they can't relate because it may be too noisy and it's self-indulgent. We're just having fun ourselves and who cares what they think of us. We go with squash dotties with oil stains on it or something like this. People look at presentation. Indra Dyumna Maharaj, when he goes on Harinam, the devotees are very neatly dressed. They know what to do, how to move, how to sing, what tunes to do. They have the ladies face painting. Sometimes they have garlands. You know, it's a whole meditation, and then that makes an impact. Of course, kirtan will always have an impact because it's the holy name, but we want to do our service in the best way to please Krishna in the best way. So Krishna, if he sees that we're putting effort to make a service more appealing and more pleasing to the people so they can accept him, then Krishna is more pleased, isn't it? You see? That's why Indra Prabhu was singing so many different tunes, and again in the past he was criticized. Why he's singing so many tunes? Why he's coming up with his own tunes? Why can't we just sing Prabhupada's tune, one tune, Hare Krishna, and that's it, nothing else? You know, that was the mood some years ago. And Indra Prabhu said recently that, you know, why don't you dress the deity with the same clothes every day? He said, all these melodies are like the dress that you decorate the deity with, you know. So that the deity is the holy name, and the holy name is dressed by different beautiful dresses, different beautiful melodies, so that people can become attracted and they can chant. In this way we develop a culture. We become like a culture that is evolving, it's expanding, and it's accommodating the time and the people, etc., and the talents of each and every individual, you know. So we have to become open-minded. We have to be very careful how to encourage talents within the bodies, how to protect them from also being independently wanting to do things that are not going to help. It will have an adverse effect. When someone is new, they need guidance, of course, because they may do something that may have the opposite effect of, you know, in the name of Yukta Vairagya, in the name of making art or music or something, it may have an adverse effect, the opposite. So we have to be also very careful how to guide devotees with talent to glorify Krishna. And this is called Yukta Vairagya. So, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments or questions? Yes.
One comment about Indra Prabhu. 2.5 years back, I was in Vrindavan, and Indra Prabhu was Vyas Puja, Jayapadaka Swami.
Yes.
And we spoke for nearly half an hour.
Yeah.
And Vyas Puja, so many points he told, it was the first time. So he had a tremendous knowledge, you said.
What's that again?
He had a tremendous knowledge,
yeah,
about SKOM, about the gurus.
Yeah.
So you can't say that he was just interested only in music.
Yeah.
He was so talented in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what we have to appreciate.
Yeah.
That if he is showing so many talents,
yeah,
this is all Krishna's mercy.
Yes.
Prabhupada's,
yes,
mercy.
Yeah. Thank you, Mahatma Prabhu. He was also very learned. He knew Shastra very well and he gave amazing classes, as far as I know. So definitely he was an empowered Vaishnava. This was one of the first kirtans that appealed to me and that encouraged me, because somehow or other I also have a music background. And somehow or other I was asked to give class on this verse as well today without expecting it. So Krishna is saying something to me also through that. When I came to ISKCON, when I heard the Indra Prabhu's kirtans, then I became inspired. Wow, this is amazing. And then I could actually draw a line between traditionalism and progressive presentation, and I could see he is one of the progressive presenters of Krishna consciousness. So I appreciated this because I thought we don't have to be like rigid traditionalists. Sometimes we have to be traditional if that will please Krishna and bring the bhakti out. Sometimes we have to be progressive, open-minded, you know, individuals who are making things in a way that different mentality people, different perspective people with this different perspective may appreciate. So again, Desha, Kala and Patra. So yeah, that was really one of the things that attracted me the most. I felt that if this music is there, because it was so musically presented, so nicely done, and the other kirtans I was hearing, you know, there was the aesthetic aspect was left out. It was just, you know, they were focusing on chanting and having fun, but the aesthetic, how will people receive that? The audience, those who hear it from the outside, and they are not devotees, how will they receive it is important. You see. So I was thinking, you know, we have to develop this culture, we have to develop this art, and in that way become more appealing. So yeah, I'm very grateful to Indra Prabhu. I met him once only, or twice maybe, over the years. And it is quite sad in one sense that he departed so early, at such an early age, but it is also glorious because we know where he went. He went to Krishna Loka, to Vrindavan, because he did nothing else but glorify Radha and Krishna his whole life, you know. So, and something interesting I was telling Stamba Bhava Prabhu yesterday is Prabhupada told Indra Prabhu only one word in his whole like interaction all these years. You know what was this word? Indra Prabhu was playing mridanga in the early days, and Prabhupada was coming, some devotees were singing Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada looked at him and he said, Jai, and he just went. That was the only word he heard from him, direct word from Prabhupada, the only word, Jai. And this one word made him who he was later. Prabhupada appreciated. That's why Prabhupada was so successful. He'll appreciate everyone. Oh, you're a painter, please come, paint for Krishna. Oh, you are an accountant, please come and do accounting for Krishna. Oh, you are a good cook, please come, learn even better. Do it for Krishna. You have a musical ability, please engage for Krishna. You can, you're a like scholar, you like to study, alright, just study Shastra. And, you know, maybe edit my books, you would engage them like that. Edit my books, help me out with the presentation. So he could see every person's ability and quality. That was Prabhupada's genius. But nowadays, sometimes we just try to force everyone into one, you know, like, conformity, which is unnatural, and it cannot last long. If someone is in a situation where they don't progress in their particular area where their strength is, after some time the devotees become discouraged. So, I mean, some purification is necessary, you know, and it is very good for some years to do whatever is needed, but after some time one, after say 10 years, one should develop specific area and specialize in it. Yeah. When I joined, initially I chose to wash pots. And I did this service maybe for 2 years, sometimes 5 hours a day I would wash pots at the temple. You know, because I felt this is a great service and it's my big mercy day, you know. And nobody wanted to do. So if nobody wanted to do, I'll do it, you know, it's great. So I washed pots for 2 years, you know. And nobody was paying me for it. I was just ecstatic because I knew this is Krishna's service. It has to be done, you know. And then gradually devotees saw that you know, I could do other things, so they involved me in university programs, and then one day, within 2 years, I ended up running university programs. So we had 7 programs from one. We spread it all over the universities everywhere. We had hundreds of students coming to our programs, and it's still going on. I think one program was closed because there was a shortage of devotees at some point to manage everything. We had some difficulties going through in the around 2003-2006. But in time, when we are back on our feet, we are now more or less back on our feet, we will be able to reopen probably in time. So in that way, they engage me in that service, and then, yeah, it's one of my strengths. It's like PR or like public relations or what you call it. The Amrita Maharaj was always joking with me, a people's person. So devotee soul, let this person, instead of being at the back in the pots, let him do what he can, you know. So we have to spot the talent and offer that. Any other final comment or question? Yes, Prabhu?
Yeah, a mentor of mine from the past explained to me that the human and the animal hearing systems, like in our ear canals and such, are better equipped or even designed to receive all analog or organic sounds.
Yeah.
Because electronic and electric sounds tend to agitate the mind and the heart.
Yeah.
So I think it's like really important to accommodate, you know, all branches of music and musicians and such, but to represent, you know, electronic sounds organically, with, you know, so the traditional instruments. And
more acoustic. He said that someone told him that electronic sound puts pressure on the apparatus, the hearing apparatus, and it's not so good. So he's saying more acoustic things can be used. Well, yes, acoustic as much as possible, but Prabhupada used electric guitar and all that. I mean, George Harrison was playing electric guitar. And then Govinda Maripurusham, every morning we hear George Harrison is playing the bass and the piano on it. So, it is those modern sounds that we have now that are just all this techno stuff that is actually affecting. But otherwise, it may be an electric instrument, but if it's done pleasantly, it's very nice. Yeah, because nowadays you get this, so that disturbs you, you know. Yeah, that's definitely there. Thank you. I think it's prasadam time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granturaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.